What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of a joint Pokemon podcast. There we go. See, I customized it a little bit.
Joint. We have guests today.
That's it.
This is just our thing, so I don't want to be like, I'm taking over, or you guys are taking over. My name is Steve. I'm from It's Super Effective. I'm here with Mike and Kevin.
My name is Michael. I'm from Canada.
My name is Kevin. I went shopping today. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Kevin and I are both from PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. And today it's not so much a competition as it is a collaboration between It's Super Effective.
That was great. Like, wow. Yeah. It's almost like we didn't come up with that right now.
Welcome to PokeSports, a collaborative Pokemon podcast. Boom. That's
boom,
it.
Boom, done.
The great thing about this is we're all in chairs together.
Yes, there's nothing.
Yes, that is a common factor.
We are all next to each other. Yeah. There's absolutely nothing that went wrong today.
No. Can I go first with my situation?
Oh, yeah, explain right? it. Yeah, do it.
All right, thank you.
Wait. Before you explain, because we probably have two different audiences listening.
Oh, fair.
We have flying issues that we can talk about, but before, when we get all that out of the way, we're here in Columbus. We're all here in Columbus, obviously.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to. We're here for the national championships. The biggest one.
Biggest ever.
And we're going to be talking about Scarlet and Violet stuff. We're going to be obviously talking about Columbus, Ohio, even though it hasn't started until tomorrow. And then we have a bunch of other notes here. But yes, we have a Pokemon-filled show today.
Very much Pokemon. Yes. After this news about flights.
Steve does the good podcast thing where he like intros the podcast with what the podcast is going to be about versus me and Kevin, where I'm like, I'm Mike, and he's like, I'm Kevin, and this is what happened to me today. And that's the way the podcast starts.
You gotta bait him into the
get
Pokemon
on board
stuff.
Or get
that's
out.
Just the difference between 600 episodes and 200 episodes. We'll learn that eventually.
Fair, exactly. Yeah. Around episode 350.
Yeah,
like, 350. Oh,
that'll be a good
now.
One.
And we're on episode 173, but still, okay. Anyway,
we got time.
So, yes, we are going to be in, we are in, you are in Columbus at the moment. I would have been in Columbus today. However, I had a little bit of a travel issue this morning. I am, in my day job, an event production person. I'm in event production. I had an event in Montreal. Amazing. We'll talk about that, Kevin. I had an event. I was doing an event. It was in Montreal. I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to fly from Montreal to Columbus. So I go over to the Montreal airport to try and get over to Columbus. And the international line is like 3 days long. I was there for 3.5 hours waiting that whole time to get through international customs. And by the time I get to my gate, it's 6:15. My flight's at 6. They're like, there's no more flights out to Columbus today. There's no more flights out to Toronto today, which is where I live, because I was just going to go home. So I had to go and Uber over to a train station and take a train Montreal to Toronto.
I thought you were able to fly back to Toronto.
I got home like 2 hours ago.
Oh, wow. That's even worse than I originally thought it was. I was messaging the whole time. I was like, hey, is there any chance, like, Newark Airport isn't that bad? Just fly over to Newark instead, and then we can make it here.
What's crazy crazy about all of this is I thought I was going to miss it.
because you got delayed.
I was supposed to get in yesterday into Columbus, and I just got a text being like, your plane is broken. We can send you tomorrow. And then the entire time I knew that I had a connecting flight in Atlanta, and I knew the entire time it was overbooked, like by 20 seats, and I didn't have a seat. And I was like,
we'll see what happens.
If they put me on it, cool. If they offer me like $500 to like wait longer, cool. But I missed the podcast, but I have $500.
I think I never registered that. You were in Atlanta?
Yeah, so it wasn't direct.
Don't you like not live that far from here?
Yeah, if it was direct, it would have been 2 hours. But they sent me 2.5 hours to Atlanta to then send me 90 minutes back to Columbus.
Flights. Oh, fun.
Flights, ladies
great.
And gentlemen.
Yeah.
I had a direct flight. It was pretty easy for me. I have nothing to say.
Kevin,
I had a pretty good time getting here.
easy come, easy go, I guess.
The workaround to that, I got home and my partner was like, hey, you want to just drive there and have a like weekend? We can have a weekend. You can have your weekend. So right after this podcast, I am going to drive 7 hours over to Ohio.
I was going to say, how long's the drive? But
7 hours. You must really love Pokemon, Michael.
I must really love Pokemon to be in transit for over 15 hours.
So what time are you getting here? Okay, so for context, we're recording this at like 7. We'll probably finish around like later. What time are you getting here?
Sure. Probably around 3 a.m.
3 a.m. I'll stay up for you.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Thank you.
We can both be sleepy tomorrow.
Don't force it because you have the competition.
I'm competing.
Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. You're competing.
I'm competing.
Wait, were you planning to compete?
Yeah. I'm still going to.
It was so funny because when we got to the B&B, we were playing some online competitive stuff.
Pokemon? And
yes. We were playing some Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Pokemon.
Yeah, that thing we play. And it was so sad because I went to go put my team in a battle box so I can play it online. And then I saw your team right there because I'm holding it for him. I was like, this team will never see play. It was so sad.
Well, I'm a little scared, too, because I need to register my team before, 7:30 tomorrow?
So the way, okay, so there was a gigantic line for check-in. Uh-oh. To the point where it went around the building almost 3 times. It was ridiculous. It went around the corner, went all the way down, did 2 loops, then there was still a little maze portion of it.
Did check-in start today, or could you do it yesterday?
It started today.
Oh, okay.
And the window for it was only 5 to 8. That is the window for check-in. Whoa. So if you are competing, they even sent out a mass email that says, if you are competing, we highly recommend that you don't come in the morning because we can't guarantee that you'll get in. So that's why I said to you, good luck. You might miss one round, but good luck. But in all honesty, we got through it.
I might need to be the first one in the line.
Honestly, but in all, we got through it really fast. Like there was at least, I'd say, around 3,000 people on that line. By the time we actually got to it. And there were still a bunch of people behind. Hopefully they all did it today.
Side Pokemon story.
Okay.
I went to like a couple of like battle roads. The battle roads don't exist anymore.
Okay.
Back in the day when I was doing TCG, this was when the Black and White came out. So I felt confident enough and just had extra money that I decided to fly out to Worlds in San Diego. So this was like...
Okay.
Black and White was the game, but I was playing TCG. And they had a last chance qualifier, so I was like, I'm just going to fly out to California and do the last chance qualifier. That was their biggest event at the time. And, they had 200-plus people that got a round one bye because they just didn't have seating for them.
Wow.
So not only did the TCG thing start like 2 hours late, 200 people were just round one, like, you got a free win because, like, we need to eliminate, because it was last chance qualifier, so you only did like one match, and if you won, you moved on. If you didn't, you're out.
That sure is a solution. That's a solution.
As soon as we eliminate half of the people, the other 200 people can come in, and we can start eliminating those people.
Wow.
So I'm glad in like 11 years of Pokemon, we still have like registration issues.
It's incredible. I was talking about this on the line with people, because we saw how big of a line this was. How much more chaotic does this have to be before they decide to just split TCG
into like separate lines?
No, into separate venues at this point. Because there's
everything. Yeah.
Mike, we had a hard time finding each other. We spent almost 10 minutes just looking for each other. And we're like, oh, we're by this. We're by this. We're by this.
Yeah.
There's so many people in that convention center. It's ridiculous.
Like, well, I feel like before it could have been more viable to have everybody together, because if you didn't do very well in VGC, you could do a bunch of the TCG side events. But I feel like now in Year of Luigi 2023, we split up TCG and VGC so hard. Like, people do not go and play the TCG side if they're playing the VGC side. Or maybe I'm just biased because that's exactly me. Do you find that there are people who play at TCG who also play VGC at these events?
I've played both. I have another good story. TCG, the thing you're asking, VGC people that were TCG people. I went to the national tournament, would have been a year, I think, after Black and White.
Steve's been around.
Yeah. I was still, I did play VGC at that point. And it was, again, it was a last chance qualifier. And I won my first match. Then I got completely slammed my second match and I was eliminated. And so I went over to play the pre-release of whatever set was coming out, like Emerging Powers, but whatever came after that. And while I was in line, I was standing next to Mr. Wolf Glick, who was also in line.
Oh, I've heard of him.
You've probably heard of him. And then we ended up battling each other in line as we waited to play the TCG, because he's like, oh, you want to do a friendly battle? And I beat him. using a Basculin and a Maractus.
Brush those shoulders off. Okay. This man beat a world champion.
I did. But yeah, there were at that
you're
point
the world
in time,
champion now.
Yeah, you're the world champion now.
World champion.
That's how this works.
But at that time, there were so many VGC people that would like just try it, and it was fast and easy, and then they would just like play TCG. And I feel like you're right. That doesn't. That feels like that doesn't exist anymore.
Mm.
Because like I think it was easier just to get in, or it was like easier just to get a game. Where now it's like,
oh, if you don't register beforehand, sorry. Have a nice day.
Or there's like a cost to it.
Oh, fair. $60
like when I got here, there was no. Well, back when I was when I beat Wolf and I'm was the world champ back in like 2011.
You have to defend that title, man.
There was no cost to play VGC.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would just just stand in line, register. There was like 100 people.
Get in eventually. Yes.
Yeah. And then you would just do it. And I was when I first got here, I ran my hotel to change and then to come over here. And the guy in the elevator was like, "Hey, man, you excited for tomorrow?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And he was like, "You playing?" And I was like, "It's $80 to play." Like, I was like,
$10 to spectate.
I was like, "I wish, but like, I don't want to drop $80 to like lose two rounds and be like, okay,
that's what I'm doing. I'm doing that instead." Yeah.
If I felt more confident,
I'm like, dropping gas money after dropping. A plane ticket.
He's dropped a lot more than you have.
Go over there.
That's true.
He's still coming.
Also because I don't want to fully lose the Airbnb that I also dropped. So
we were planning on paying you back, but it's nice that you're coming. We don't have to.
Oh, no. We'll talk.
I think there's a good point there, and it's like the barrier to entry to competitive Pokemon is like lower, but then the cost of entry is like higher. So
it's true.
So even if it's like, oh, I want to go to this tournament, even if it's like, oh, it's coming to Columbus, I'm here, and like you pay the $80 and register, and then you get here, and you're like, okay, I'm in this line for 5 hours, and like I don't know where to go, and like I can't even get into the Pokemon Center. Like it's not even like technically like today's like I would say technically day zero.
Technically, yeah.
And it's like Pokemon Center's already declining people. You're stuck in line for like 4 to 5 hours.
It's only registrations for the Pokemon Center. And what's funny is that I was in line for the Pokemon Center. They have a queue for the queue for the queue to get in. There's three lines you have to get into to get into the Pokemon Center, and you need a prior reservation for it, and they've sold out of backpacks.
They hit you with the triple queue.
Yeah, the triple queue. It wasn't that bad. They had a lot of cool stuff. Sad.
I can imagine. Did you get me anything?
No. I thought about it.
Oh.
And then I saw the prices. And I was like, hopefully Mike can get in tomorrow.
I think there should be a good chance of getting in at some point during the weekend, so not all the hope is lost.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I will say that with the cost of entry, that's definitely a big thing. Kevin and I, over the past 2 years, have really made like a big push to go and get out to these events, to the point where we've now had to start being a little bit more choosy which ones we go to. Including things like Worlds. We were just going to be like, all right, YOLO, let's just go to Worlds and just be there for a week. And now, like, when we look at the reality of it, it's like, okay, no, that costs a lot of money.
Yes.
So maybe let's not do that one. But and even for next year, personally, I'm just aiming at the international competitions. Kevin is looking at, like, the European international.
Yeah, I might go to a couple ICs. ICs are where the real points are for like competitive Pokemon in general. Like whether you're playing TCG, Go, or VGC, it's the point distribution for international challenges night and day. It's nearly double what a regional can give you. So just run to the ICs.
Just, you know, go to Australia.
Go to Australia. It's fine.
That's like a 20-hour play. You
know. We've got a lot of Scarlet and Violet stuff going on this week, but before that, just wanted to really define what the differences between our channels are, because there are a lot of things that I think people kind of go to one channel for, go to another channel for. When I look at the Pokemon Cast YouTube channel, you see lots of different stuff. Steve, what kind of stuff do you see over at the Pokemon Cast YouTube channel?
He doesn't know.
What do you see on your own YouTube channel?
It's all a fever dream. He doesn't know.
it is a fever dream. You know, I put things up on my YouTube channel that I personally want myself. Like, as a viewer, like, if I go and search something and it doesn't exist, then I feel like I need to make it. A really good example is, like, when Pokemon Crystal came out on the Virtual Console. That was, gosh, that was, like, 6 years ago. When that came out on Virtual Console, everyone wanted to do, like, Gen 2 shiny breeding. And every single guide out there was like, okay, first you got to go into red and blue and you got to use a shiny Gyarados and then trick it into a Ditto. And then you got to move the Ditto over and then you have a shiny Ditto and now you can breed. Like, it was all that, which is like, once you get it,
you just spoke another language.
Yeah. Like, once you,
I had no idea what you said.
Like, once you get it, it makes shiny hunting easier in Crystal.
Okay. Oh,
but no one was talking about how, like, why that actually worked.
Like the number, the zeros and the ones,
right?
Behind
like
it.
You don't actually need a shiny Ditto. It's just that like IV, or in that game it was called DVs, were different than IVs, and this is how you could shiny hunt without needing that Ditto. And that video didn't exist, so I made it. And that's usually like most of my content is me being curious enough to look up something and then being like, oh, it doesn't really exist, or maybe it does exist, but it's like kind of poorly explained, so I'm just gonna make it.
Someone wrote it on a forum on page 52. Let me make it a video. Yeah,
right. Like, yeah. And sometimes those videos pop off and sometimes they don't. And then in between, like the consistency is like we drop our news podcast every single Monday and that's like general Pokemon news. Mm. So
do you ever find it hard to stay, to keep that top of mind being like, oh, this isn't something that this isn't something that's really known or out there. Like, I should make a video on that. Because I find that like I will come across something that I'll need to research, but I never really think about like, oh, I can make content out of this. I can create this.
I could be the one.
You could be the one that
I could
that.
Be the research. I control history.
Yeah, so like I'm not compelled enough to make like battle stuff because other people just do that better. So it's like really easy, like somebody can come into my like Twitch chat and be like and ask questions about battling, and I feel like I'm sufficient enough to answer that because I did coaching for so long and I
Players Cup competitor right here.
Yeah, I qualified for Players Cup and that was kind of cool. I beat Wolf Glick. I don't know if you guys know that.
So, in line, like he never saw it coming.
But if somebody wanted like a backlog of like, okay, I want to try different teams or I want to watch somebody play a team that you're not playing, it's so easy for me to send them off to your guys' channel or like Aaron Zhang or like Wolfie. Mm-hmm. Well, Wolfie's channel is out of control right now, like but like just like general team use, it's like really easy for me to point to creators, so like I don't need to like dip my toe in that because people already do it better. So that's what so YouTube wise that's what I think of, like, can I make a video that either doesn't exist or can I make it better than somebody who's already done it, and then I go that route. But I mean, like, my bread and butter is just reporting on all Pokemon news, which I've been doing for 10+ years, so
yeah.
The thing that you do that I really like is the max raid guides, because I have no idea what max raids are. I do them sometimes, but for me, it's like, oh, I'm just going to use a level 100 Koridon and use Collision Course the whole time. That's not actually optimal all the time, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's that's an interesting thing, too, because like I felt like a bunch of content creators were very into Charizard, and then after that, they kind of just like dropped off.
It was the first one, right?
Charizard was the first one. And people like Charizard. And I feel like I'm still one of the only creators that are like making group-based content because people do play this game with other people. And then people complain on my videos like, what about your solo builds? And it's like, there's so many other people doing solo builds. Like, check them out. They're cool. But yeah, I make a lot of group-based stuff.
What are your opinions on the Gimme Ghoul situation of it not working for the first 8 or 7 hours? Do you know about this, Mike? You might not know about this. This is working all week.
Barely.
They released the Gimme Ghoul, right? Mm-hmm. So this Gimme Ghoul Max Terror Raid has a chance of being shiny, only way you can get a shiny Gimme Ghoul ever. Problem is, it doesn't work with Shiny Charm. So it has like no increased odds. It is the bare minimum odd chance that you can have to get a Gimme Ghoul. Not only that, it looks nearly identical, so it's nearly impossible to tell the difference. And the first 7 hours that it was out, it wouldn't give you rewards, or it would just give you broken links.
It was broke.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I know. I spent a half hour ranting about this.
Oh, perfect. Do it again.
Well, like Chestnut broke, so they were supposed to release Iron Tusk and. Or Great Tusk and Iron Treads, and then Chestnut, and then those all broke. And then we didn't have raids for 3 weeks. 3 weeks of no raids. And then when we finally got raids to come back, it was Chestnut and Iron Treads and Great Tusk came back. And then it was like Gimme Ghoul. Mm-hmm. And then Gimme Ghoul was broken for like 7 hours.
Yeah.
What was funny about the Gimme Ghoul, to be more specific, it was only broken for Scarlet players.
Oh, that's even funnier.
So if 4 Violet players...
Come on!
If 4 Violet players joined a raid, it worked perfectly. But if it was 3 Violet players and 1 Scarlet player, it would break for everyone. So it was just Scarlet.
Oh, wow.
Every Scarlet player got discriminated against for 7 hours. It's like, sorry, you play Scarlet. Stay over there.
Yeah, and then they
got the Scarlet letter.
They fixed it. It's not a, it was not a particularly good or fun event. Like, I don't know what they're thinking of, like...
I don't know what they're thinking.
Okay, so it's full odds, which is like, whatever, like 1 in 4,000 isn't particularly great. I think ideally what they probably want is like, well, if it's you and four friends, it's technically maybe like you could argue it's 1 in 1,000 because four different people are different raid
density. I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Because if one person finds it, the ideal is like they invite everyone to come to it and then everyone gets it together. So I understand like the play together.
Do you think that they just, this was an act? Because others aren't like that, right?
So Shiny Charm has never worked on raids.
Oh, okay.
Even in Scarlet, Sword and Shield, it never worked. The difference is in Sword and Shield, when they did monthly Shiny raid events, it was always like a 1 in 100 Yeah, so this was still 1 in 4, which is kind of like they kind of like missed out on it being like 1 in 999. Like, that's still kind of bad odds, but like lore-wise, it fits.
It would make sense, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the special coin.
But also what's crazy is not only is the Gimme Gold Shiny terrible, in Pokemon Home, it's way better.
Is it?
Yeah. So
do you actually notice a difference?
Yeah, in Pokemon Home, he's like pure white. The little Gimme Ghoul is pure white. And then the Golden Go is still the same gold, but it's all its rings around its body are green.
It's green? Yeah. That's so much better than whatever. What is it? It's like silver in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
yeah, you can't see it in the game.
I don't know. I'm team, hey, just make me silver. Problem solved.
Or like
surfer.
A rose gold. Would be
anything,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Heck, I'd take bronze. Make it green. Make it vomit green. I'd take that.
But this was Sword and Shield had shiny events pretty much every month, once a month. Mm. It was like a Thursday, Friday, yeah. Saturday, Sunday kind of thing. And this game's been out for 7 months. First shiny event ever. Broke. Bad odds. Like, way harder to check raid dens in Scarlet and Violet just because it's an open world. Not really intentional, sure. But open world makes it bigger to run from den to den. And then... The raid doesn't even sparkle. So you have no clue when you go in.
So you just have to check everything.
Yeah, you just have to catch them all and then check afterwards. So you have no clue. Like, but in Sword and Shield, they did sparkle. they did sparkle when they went in. I don't know. There's like so many things I like about Scarlet and Violet and so many things that like...
Really make you second guess.
Right, yeah. Like, I still think, going to the competitive thing... The stadium and the people cheering and having like this huge crowd when you're playing Sword and Shield so
good.
And now when you're playing Scarlet and Violet, you're in like a schoolyard with grandma like, clapping behind
Where
you.
Where is Proud Dad? We need Proud Dad.
I have been saying this for months. I miss Proud Dad with his arms crossed, looking so supportively down at you from the rafters. He was there for you. He showed up.
I mean, grandma's hype in the schoolyard. Like, she's out there for you.
I like her.
Grandma's got energy.
I'm in. Grandma's got energy.
But there,
Kevin, you know what? If I lose out early at NAIC, I will be your supportive grandma.
Oh, you'll be proud.
I will stand behind you, just going like this the whole time.
And then promptly
for at least one
out.
Game, and then people will find it weird and kick me out, but it's fine.
I'm hype. Honestly, like ICs in general, I guess you as a spectator, for regionals, I would never recommend spectating regional. The stage is so close to the ground that you have 20 people all standing up just to see what's happening.
Yeah.
At least with ICs, they haven't let us into the venue. But if it's anything like last year, there's a giant, you know, a giant stage that's elevated from the ground. The screens are actually elevated so that you can sit down and watch without hurting yourself.
Well, all the ICs that have been broadcasted have looked impressive.
I think because they're funded by Pokemon, not like not outsourced.
I've always told people it's never worth traveling as a spectator to a regional.
Mm.
But if it's in your city and it's like an hour or two away, I would say it's worth going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But not like jumping on a flight for a regional. Sure. But an IC, I want to say, I'm going to hopefully in 4 days I can say, like, yes, it was worth traveling here as a spectator for an IC. Although, if I can't get in Pokemon Center or everything's sold out in Pokemon Center by Friday, like, that is a draw to come to these.
Mm. I will give you some good news.
I think as a spectator...
The good news is they did say that they're capping how much they sell of certain items per day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they've done
so,
that fast.
Yeah, that's really good. So if they sell out of backpacks today, they will have more tomorrow morning. They have enough fresh restocks for each and every day.
Oh, so that Worlds I went to
nice.
In San Diego, the Black and White Worlds, flew out there for San Diego. They had a Pokemon Center. It was in Imagine your hotel room. It was in a room that big. I got in on Thursday.
Well, she's on the bed.
I got in on Thursday night. This is a real story. I got in on Thursday night. Pokemon Center opened on Friday. There was already a line because it was in the hotel of the convention center for the Pokemon Center. When I woke up at 10 o'clock the next morning, they were closed the entire weekend. They were done. They sold out of everything.
They only had enough to fill the hotel room. That's all they had.
Wow.
It was done for the entire weekend. They had nothing left.
There is a joke that, hey, you have to spend money to come spend more money. That's the Pokemon Center.
They've gotten better, though, with the Pokemon Center stuff.
Yeah, everything's at least
the Pokemon Center stuff MSRP. This year, yeah, it looks really good.
Like a lot of they still have the side vendors here, but a lot of the side vendors will jack up their prices because it comes from Japan or it's a rare Pokemon. All of the Pokemon Center stuff is all
because
MSRP.
They also spent retail price to get.
Yeah, exactly.
So they need to make a little bit of money. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't actually. The thing is, like, I already went to the Pokemon Center today, spent $100. I'm like, I don't need to look at vendors. I'm okay. I know when to stop myself. I don't need to look.
Wait, have you guys been to any Worlds?
I've been to Kevin Worlds. Has. Oof. In Washington, D.C. both times.
Oh, okay. You went both times to D.C.
Yeah, I was East Coast. That was easy.
I went D.C. once, which was the last one before the pandemic, which was the fossil one, which was like...
The fossil one.
Yeah, they had like the era. And then I went to the one in San Diego where Pokemon Center shut down in like 20 minutes. And then I went to Nashville, right. And Nashville was awesome. And they had... I think that was like...
What year was that?
That was right before... It was D.C., Nashville, D.C., wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Was it D.C., Nashville, Canada?
I know they went back to D.C., and I was like, why are they going back to D.C.?
Yeah, yeah, they did D.C. twice.
They just did this one.
But the Nashville one, the Pokemon Center was huge. It had stuff all days, but the backpack was sold out day one. And I think
they always
are. Yeah, I don't know why people love the backpacks. I have so many backpacks in my life. Don't the competitors get a backpack, though?
I didn't get a backpack. I got a hat. I tried to put it on the table before.
Maybe that's a Worlds thing, where if you qualify, you get a backpack.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
For Orlando, thing, yeah. I got a very nice tote bag or a drawstring bag.
You did, but you did by both. Accident, right? Cause
yeah, because I got the VIP package.
Oh, did you accidentally get the VIP package?
Yeah, I got an add-on. I was like, why not? And in Rome.
It works, yeah.
But it was a nice bag. It was a little drawstring bag. I use it for other things now. It's a nice little like pool bag.
Yeah, use it for the event. The other thing is, other thing that they had, it looks like, because he said it was fossils a couple years back. It's Eevee this time. It's same thing as EUIC.
Yeah, I'm wearing one of the...
Oh, yeah, he has the thing that...
Yeah, it's all Eevees.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, to be fair, the Pokemon company sent this to me. I didn't pay for it.
That's fine.
FTC disclosure, did not pay for this thing I am wearing. But yeah, I don't know if I would have bought this... on my own, because like I'm not a huge Eevee fan.
Yeah.
But like that fossil stuff was like right up my alley. I was like, skeleton Aerodactyl, yeah. I'm in.
Yes, it's there.
Like Tyrantrum, sign me up. Like I'm
skeleton Charmander on my head.
Not the one.
Not the one.
It's cool that they go with like different themes. Like when I was in Nashville, it was very like Kay Kona, like everyone's holding like a banjo kind of thing. And I was like, I'm not really into this aesthetic. I'm sure somebody is, but like,
yeah.
I don't need banjo.
The Yokohama stuff looks great though. I can only imagine that's going to look amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what we're missing out on is like actual merch from Yokohama.
Yeah. I have friends who are just going just to go and grab stuff and then they're going to come back. They're not going to be participating. They're barely going to be spectating. They're going to get what they can get and then get out.
Well, that's also another crazy situation because I've known people that they had their trip to Japan booked and then they announced that it was going to be a lottery system. Which,
oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which like... A lot of things in Japan are lottery systems. Like
gacha games. You got to play with your tickets now.
There's just so many people, and because of scalpers. I mean, Pokemon Go Fest did this for a couple of years, where they just it's a lottery to get a ticket to Go Fest.
Maybe you can explain this to me. How does Go Fest work? What is stopping me from just going to the same park and walking around with my phone?
You can. There just won't be any spawns.
Nothing will spawn for you.
Yeah, your ticket.
Oh. Game is in the game. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Your ticket turns on the spawns.
And what happens at GoFest? They have more spawns than normal. I haven't played Go since 2016. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so there's more spawns than normal. There's more stops than normal. There's usually a quest line. So like in Vegas, there were 9 Pokestops that were Spinda. So when you spun it, a Spinda would appear.
Spinda's drunk.
Yep.
Get it?
which was really cool because people would be like, well, I can't find like the ninth Spinda stop. And people were like, ah, it's by the waterfall.
Oh, okay.
So that was cool.
The treasure hunt.
Yeah, there's like a quest line you can do. Usually there are bonuses. But yeah, you could walk around with your friend and you could turn on like an incense and things would spawn for you every like minute, but you wouldn't be able to see all the...
Yeah, you wouldn't have the same experience as they would.
Yeah. And so, and then obviously they like bump the shiny rate up for players.
Honestly, that might be something to get me back into Go. Like, I feel like GoFest does a great job in like trying to convince new people, hey, pick up this game again. Because I don't know.
Sure.
It still has a huge audience, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's like 2016 numbers. Maybe there's a drop off. No idea. I've never looked at the numbers. But it dropped off for me. So if there's anything that's going to make me want to play it again, that would be it.
I think the audience has shifted a bit.
Yeah.
It's gone away from the everybody wants to play every day all the time to now you have a very dedicated group of people who are not only willing to spend a lot of time, but also money mm-hmm. on things in game. Whereas before, people weren't really wanting to spend a ton on this game. I do know that Pokemon Go makes a lot of money.
Yeah, I think as of this week, they're top 10 in the Apple App Store again. For top grossing.
Because you went to Korea to do this.
I did.
How much is a GoFest ticket? For you to be like, yeah, I'm going to go to GoFest Korea.
That was a Safari Zone, so a little bit smaller than a GoFest.
Oh, okay.
So they have different like levels. Yeah, so...
So like, regionals and ICs, got it.
Correct, yeah, exactly, yeah. So a ticket is usually only like $20.
Oh, that's not bad.
And they have add-ons. Like for like this year's GoFest, it was $25. But if you wanted like bonus raids, that was like another 15. If you wanted bonus like egg hatching stuff, that was another 15. If you want the t-shirt, that's a 20. Niantic has mastered the like, let me add on some stuff. But I think you're right. Like, you know, Will and Greg, who co-host the ISE, they usually only play on community days or big events. Like I play every day. I don't like go hard every day, but yeah, I do my dailies at
daily
least.
Chores, yeah.
Like for me, it was worth it to go to Korea to do GoFest or not GoFest sure. Safari Zone because one, I always wanted to go to Korea. Two, like technically a business expense.
Hey, taxes.
But like I genuinely like Pokemon Go, so it was like you know if I always like compare it to like your favorite musician. Like if somebody was like, oh, I love the Grateful Dead. I don't know why I'm going with the Grateful Dead. Like they might like fly out to.
That's your favorite musician.
And then I throw on fish afterwards. You know, they might fly out to, you know, Denver and then, you know, Seattle and then Austin, Texas, because they just want to keep seeing that band. So for me, that's like Pogo. And like, I obviously explored Korea and had a great time in Korea on top of that. So.
I would probably need a new phone if I'm playing Pokemon Go. I still have a 10R.
The nice thing about these events...
I don't know what a 10R is.
I use it till I can't no more, man. It's
the nice thing about these events is there should be something Pokemon Go.
Oh, well, fair. I could open it up. Once I go O2, round 2, I just open up Pokemon Go.
So for Worlds in London...
Yeah, okay, but it's been like that every time. Like, we've always had something Pokemon Go related to do.
Never had a reason to do it, though.
You get.
I'm sitting next to Steve now.
You've always been winning too hard. Oh no.
Well, when hopefully you don't lose, but if you lose out, and you're not doing anything on Saturday.
I'm playing Hard Trick Room. I might just lose. Yeah.
Okay. I plan to get like a bunch of people together and walk the city and play Go.
Oh heck yeah! When you say Saturday,
I'd love to
do
that.
Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not making day two. I bubbled out of day two, 6 regionals this year. Never made it.
So this is a unique. Internationals, not only because it is the last one before Worlds, but also because we had a recent patch just before it. And a lot of people out there are probably still needing to go and update their games before they go and play this weekend.
They made us before we checked in.
Did they?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So
I guess I'm going to do that before I leave then.
Yeah, you must. It's a system update too.
Very uneventful system update.
Yes. Nothing.
I will say that Pokemon patch 1.3.2 did have a lot of changes, not a lot given in easy to read places. And a lot of them you had to kind of find all over the internet, like at home or just kind of in the data of the game. The biggest change, I think, we've got 3 moves that are different now. Do you know those 3 moves, Kevin?
Wait, we had 3 moves that are different? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do because I have
3
the
moves
notes.
That are different.
Okay, yeah, he does.
He knows. But do you know what those are?
It's a Direclaw and some other thing, right? They had the wrong text.
Yeah, it's Direclaw, Stone Axe, and Ceaseless Edge.
I think in the game, it said they had a high crit chance, but they actually don't. So they just fixed it. Dang. Yeah.
But they fixed it in the other way.
Wait, what?
They were like, okay, we're not going to add the crit chance. We're going to take away the text.
Nothing at all, yeah. But I think originally it wasn't technically there to begin with. Yeah, is what they said.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was never coded in. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they were high crit in Legends Arceus.
Oh,
yeah.
So that sounds like a copy and paste.
Yeah,
problem.
Yeah. Yeah. See, they copy and pasted the text. They didn't copy and paste the shiny animation from.
I'm happy that they actually took the time to like look at Legends Arceus and be like, yeah, we can't give Cresselia minimize. That's not okay. Like,
yeah, no.
Like, let's change some of these.
Well, Hisuian Decidueye had Focus Energy in Legends, and they took that away in Scarlet and Violet. Not that would have changed. It would have made him a good raid Pokemon.
Yeah, good for raids.
Can I tell you the biggest buff that this patch gives right before NAIC?
Okay.
Can you believe it? They mega buffed Illuminate.
Illuminate?
Like super duper buffed
I'll give you $5 if you tell me what Illuminate does right now.
2 days ago, it did nothing.
He looked it up, dang it.
He was so excited.
2 days ago, yes, it did $5. Absolutely nothing. I'm so glad that you said that.
He's waiting for this bet.
Today, Illuminate prevents accuracy from being lowered.
Oh, today. What did it do before?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Oh, it did absolutely nothing.
Okay, so outside of battle.
Out of battle, did.
Illuminate would help you find, like, you would get wild encounters faster outside of battle.
Oh, because they could see you easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. They illuminated
it. Inside battle, it did nothing.
Okay, thanks, Lantern. You can use Lantern competitively now, guys. Everyone, pokesports.org. Enjoy your Lantern rental code. I don't know.
Wow. Just so you know, though, there are a lot of Pokemon that get Illuminate. I was curious. I looked it up. There are 8 Pokemon that get Illuminate.
Okay, Chinchou Lantern. I can't tell you the rest.
You got to. Okay.
Illumise.
Okay. He said 2 bugs.
Illumise does not get Illuminate.
What?
Just Volbeat?
Volbeat does. Yeah. The one that you wouldn't expect gets Illuminate.
It also gets Tail Glow. That's a lot better than the other
one. Sure does.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Instead of Illumise, it's Watchog. Watchog gets Illuminate.
Where does a Watchog glow?
His eyes.
Okay.
He's watching.
He's watching.
Man omits lights.
Shinotic and Morlul.
Where does that? Okay. Mushrooms can glow. Yeah. Okay. I get it.
Yeah. The glowy mushrooms, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't watch the anime episode then the last where ones they use them to like light up the...
Oh, I didn't watch anime episode number 897. No, I didn't. that...
You probably called the exact number.
I'm actually like, for us, because like 897 is actually like Sun and Moon.
In there.
Yeah. You're probably pretty close.
Yeah, actually probably.
The last two are Staryu and Starmie.
I guess that makes sense.
Okay, they're gems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, you would just use Natural Cure. Yeah, because it wouldn't do anything before.
Right.
Okay.
But now you don't have to. Now you have options. And that's what's cool about Pokemon.
I wonder why
the options.
Why did they make that decision? What in the game is currently around that lowers accuracy that we need to care about?
I couldn't tell you.
One of the bad changes of Scarlet and Violet is there were ever since like I think like Gen 3, there were abilities that did work in the overworld. So if you had like a Pokemon, if you had Gastrodon at the front of your party, it would increase water encounters for you.
Oh, really?
And then if you had, like, obviously, like, if you had Flash Fire in your party, it would hatch eggs faster.
I knew that one.
And then if you had, like, Super Luck in your party, it would be 50% more likely the Pokemon would be holding a held item when you encounter it. So there was, like...
Right. This is blowing my mind.
A bunch of abilities, like Magnet Pole would be, like, steel Pokemon. There was a bunch of abilities, like Illuminate, that would work. And all those abilities do something in battle, except for Illuminate. So they're like, Illuminate is useless outside of battle now because we got rid of all of that in Scarlet and Violet and in battle. So I guess that would be like, there are a lot of useless abilities, though.
I would have loved to be in the dev office during them figuring out that they need to fix Illuminate, where they're like, all right, patch 1.3.2, we've got this change. We're fixing raid dens a little bit. What else can we put in with this patch? Some guy in the back's like, hey, remember Illuminate?
Really,
kind of weird that does nothing, right? Kind of weird. Can we do something about that? Yeah, sure. Accuracy.
There's some Pokemon that make absolutely no sense. Like, what is it? Delibird has two abilities that do the exact same thing. It's like Insomnia and Vital Spirit. They're literally identical. Those are the two abilities again.
They're really trying to hit home the theme.
Oh, speaking of, did you watch? I don't know if Mike's been away all week. Did you watch the DLC trailer or not?
I did watch the DLC trailer.
Okay, ignore the DLC trailer. Did you watch the Detective Pikachu trailer?
I did not watch the Detective Pikachu trailer.
That was the voice acting. That was the better Pokemon. One.
There was voice acting really? In the 3DS version 6 years ago.
Well, there's voice acting in Pokemon again.
It was so nice they did it twice. Okay, so are you excited for this Detective Pikachu?
Honestly, I never played the first one. I don't know why. It might have been the time that I was playing.
Do you think
League
more
Legends.
People will now that the movie is a thing?
Well, the eShop is closed. So
yeah, you can't get the old one.
So unless you buy
was
copy.
That eShop only, or can you not have the physical?
You could have the physical, but like stores just stopped carrying 3DS games. So
you're paying eBay prices.
Yeah, you're paying eBay prices. Which I think it's only like $50 used. So like $10 more than I'm gonna assume that they put like a synopsis / here's where we left off.
Because it is an actual sequel, right? It's
yeah.
not there
oh,
was
the
a cliffhanger.
First, the first one has the worst cliffhanger ever.
I heard you talking about it a little bit on your podcast.
I mean, if you saw the movie, you kind of get the gist of the whole thing. The movie has an ending.
Are we giving a spoiler warning? No. This was 6 years ago.
This was 6 years ago. This is a long time ago. Also, I feel like most people have probably seen the movie. And if you haven't seen the movie by now.
Pikachu's the dad, guys.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
That's the terrible part about the first game, is they never reveal that.
Oh, that's stupid. Oh, they want to make more money this time.
Yeah.
Is it implied?
Kind of. I think
is
so.
It implied in the game?
In the way of like you know that like Spider-Man is gonna win at the end of a movie or like it's like that like it's like duh it's like that implied. But if
the protagonist doesn't die, weird.
But they don't ever come out and say Pikachu is the dad ever. They pretty much like at the point of the game where you're like, okay, this is the ending. Pikachu's gonna turn back into the dad, which obviously the movie confirms that. If that wasn't clear. Mewtwo's like, well, I can do the one thing you want, which they don't say, which is the dad, or you can do one more mission for me. And then Pikachu comes around the corner and he's like, we got another mission. And it was like.
So the kid never finds out?
He never finds out. Yeah. So the kid is still clueless that Pikachu is his dad.
And it's so obvious to the audience.
Right.
It's like they use the coffee, right? Like Pikachu likes coffee, dad likes coffee.
Yep.
Okay. So they hint it.
Yeah, he's a great detective. Pikachu's a great detective.
A detective, yeah.
Yeah.
So do we ever find out like how Pikachu became the dad or the dad became the Pikachu?
Mewtwo did it.
Mewtwo just chose a random man on the street. It was just like
no, Mewtwo did it to save them. I think.
Oh, was to
right?
save?
Yes.
Like someone was in a car crash or something.
Yes, but I don't think there was ever a car crash revealed in the game.
Oh, that was a movie thing.
Yeah, that was a movie thing.
They just wanted Michael Bay. I get it.
But it's very clear at the end of the game that Mewtwo could turn Pikachu back into the dad.
I guess that's just one of Mewtwo's powers that no one knew about.
Correct. Yeah.
Mewtwo can do anything. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're all sleeping on Mewtwo.
Like, I mean, he was made by
humans.
We're
talking about Solgaleo and Lunala. Like, forget all of those legendaries. Let's bring back Mewtwo. That was like the Pokemon.
You ever realize how the legendaries we got this generation are like, oh yeah, they're bikes.
The cars
they make it sun and then put electricity on the field. They don't shatter space time. They don't create Pokemon. They don't change Pokemon into humans and humans into Pokemon. They're bikes.
Mm-hmm. They don't talk.
Nah.
They don't. They barely emote. They eat sandwiches
they like
and
sandwiches.
Get.
They
stronger.
Like sandwiches. They definitely
love
do.
Those things. Can't get enough.
Can we talk about how there's just for 2 seconds? There's no racing in Scarlet and Violet.
Oh yeah! Wow. That's because there weren't enough frames to do it.
You made a motorcycle Pokemon with no racing. We have more soccer than we have racing.
Like in Sword and Shield, there was a racing minigame. You would go from one end of the wild area to the other on your bike. And then
the Rotom bike. Yeah,
and then it would like time you, and then you could do it over and over to beat your like high score.
You can slide down the hill, right?
You can fall through the floor, slalom. Too, sometimes.
Oh, yeah, and keep falling.
Love that.
And this game does this cool thing where it's like turns black and then starts over.
Yeah. This game does this nice thing where it closes my game and shows me other games that I could be playing.
Speaking of the DLC, since we weren't talking about it at all, you ever notice how it's called hidden treasures of Area Zero, but so far the two locations are not in Area Zero.
Correct, yeah.
Why?
I don't know how they're going to tie that back together.
I'm curious. Because one is in the mountain that we can't access, right? That's, I'm assuming, the first one where we're going to. The Japanese-inspired one. And then the other one's in the middle of the ocean and underwater. Oh, that's what you're missing. Oh, there's a terrarium underwater, Mike.
Oh.
Mm, that's the Blueberry Academy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. They built a, like...
It's a giant terrarium. I think it's just their excuse to give us different locations with different Pokemon in there.
I kind of like it.
I like it. I'm down for it. I'm interested because it is the first time, like, double battles were ever shown in a Scarlet and Violet video.
Yes.
Did you notice that through the whole game, there was not a single double battle except for, like, that one gym?
Just the single gym leader. Yeah. I don't even think her minions even do double battles. They might. I think they might.
I think the minions did. But that was, like, the world's easiest gym.
Yeah.
It was the ghost one. The rapping lady, you remember?
The one where the dog hops up on the speaker.
And yeah. It does that dance.
That's a really good part of the game, honestly.
It's the best part of the game. They spend time with that.
Big highlight, yeah.
I'm okay with falling through the floor to see that dog dance.
Fell through the floor, landed in the gym leader's area. Other thing that we got the other day. We got Pokemon Sleep news, folks. Here we go, Pokemon Sleep Watch. Woo, 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 woo.
I didn't even know that.
Well, there is a little short. It's Japanese only. It's about Snorlax.
Oh, is that
Sleep?
Go
and watch it on YouTube right now. Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's Pokemon. It's Pikachu lying on top of Snorlax. Snorlax is asleep. And it's just like a narrator calmly talking over the Snorlax. Like, think of a headspace kind of thing, like a meditation situation with just a Snorlax trying to sleep. And it's a nothing video, but what it is the kickoff for marketing of Pokemon Sleep, which is the most hype thing that I've ever seen.
They've been working on this game for how long? Is it just a sleep tracker?
Yes.
Yeah, probably. So the people who are making Pokemon Sleep, if you don't know this, made Magikarp Jump.
Okay.
Yes.
And
the best game ever.
Go Plus Plus, which is the thing you're supposed to put under your pillow to help track the sleep. You don't need it. I think you could just put your phone under your pillow too. But if you want the little Plus Plus thing, that's supposed to come out, I think, on July 15th. So assumptions that sleep is...
Oh, it's that button that's $100.
Assumptions that sleep is mid-July. And then that's also supposed to work with Pokemon Go. The interesting thing that I think I just find ironic or maybe funny is people complain so much that Pokemon Go is like selling your data, even though Niantic has come out multiple times saying, like, yes, we know how many Pokestops you're spinning, but like, we're not like saying like...
I feel like it's just mostly legal reasons they have to say that.
Don't look
at
your photos.
It's like, we didn't see you go to like Target 3 times and we're selling that back to Target. But like, whether or not you care about Niantic selling your data or gathering your data in a location-based game, like, Pokemon Sleep is going to know your sleep patterns.
Yeah.
And they're going to probably sell. Like, that, I feel like that is way more personal than, okay, we know, like, 20,000 people went to Mall of America this weekend.
We know Steve was up until 3 a.m. making a thumbnail. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just curious if people will have that same energy when it comes to, like, I don't want Niantic selling my data, but, like, I'm okay with, like, sleep having my data. I don't know. Health data to me sounds... more private.
More of a red flag than...
incredibly personal.
Yeah, it's personal. And if you're okay with that, that's cool. Like, I don't know, I guess I'm okay with Pikachu knowing that I have
Pikachu
the worst sleep
Papa Pikachu.
Schedule. Yeah. I'm just curious, like, what they're going to do with all that data. Because, like, I feel like that is a hard thing to track or to communicate back to people.
I mean, I do that already, kind of. I do wear my, like, Pixel Watch to sleep so that I can see how long I was in REM for and how long I actually slept. And mostly all it accomplishes is a little bit of depression where I'm like, oh, I slept for 3 hours last night.
You don't need your watch to tell you that.
Cool,
you know.
Yeah, right. But now I have validation. Like a little, I have a number.
Like, I think about, like, I have used sleep apps in the past, and it's like, you slept poorly last night. Like, I know you don't need to tell me that. I know. I feel it. Like,
feel it. I'm here. I was there.
But I just wanted the validation. I'm like, oh yeah, no, I did. Thank you, app. I feel seen.
He wants to tell somebody.
No, exactly. But more than that, I do want to say they're Princess and the Peeing everybody, though.
Princess and the Peeing.
You know, they're asking you to take a little thing, put it underneath your pillow, put it underneath your, I don't know, mattress, and just, you know, Princess and the Pee. You know the story of the
Is that a Canadian thing? There's a gap here.
You don't know the story of the...
It's a Disney, what? They made like a Disney movie, I'm sure, at one point.
Do both of you Americans not know the story of the Princess and the Pea?
No, I know. It's like multiple mattresses, and there's like a...
Yeah.
And it's like how... Like,
and then there's a pea.
Well, why would there be a
pea? Put the pea under the mattress, and if you lie on the mattress and you have a bad sleep, then you're a true princess.
Oh, I didn't know that part of it. I didn't know why the pea was there. That was the part of it. I just knew it was.
That's the Canadian.
I still don't know why the pea is there. Okay.
Don't worry. I'll tell it. It's a good bedtime story.
I need you to read it to me tomorrow when you drive in.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. Okay. Tomorrow. Yeah. But yeah, that's Pokemon Sleep. We've also got more info on Pokemon Concierge coming on July 1st, which I'm excited to see what Netflix is going to be doing with that. That's the Netflix.
Okay. I didn't know what that was. Thing. All right. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that was?
Yeah you remember there was an early trailer.
That's what everything is. Like,
I don't know if you know this, but I do a news Pokemon podcast. Oh, really?
I'm trying to put in a little bit more news here for Steve's sake.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, no.
Keep it along, Kevin.
This was like the exclusive Netflix deal for more Pokemon stuff. Cool. Pokemon on Netflix is like top 10 in like kids and family. It's like consistently one of the most watched animation. I should say animation because I think it also appears under like, you know, next to Death Note.
It's in there, yeah.
That's hilarious. That it's Death Note.
Do they have
and
all of
Pokemon.
The Indigo League on it? Like, how much of the library do they have?
They have some of the old stuff, but it's like
mostly new.
Mostly new, like the Master Journeys and then the Master Quest, which
I like. Sassy Ash, I like Indigo League Ash. He's funny.
Yeah, I'm assuming the new one will come to Netflix with the girl. I don't know her name. Liko.
Yeah, something. Rico? I've actually, believe it or not, I've watched the first three episodes of the Japanese. It's not bad. I like it. Pokemon battles have gotten like, because I've only watched all of the Indigo League, then nothing, and then episode 980 or 897 for the Morlul on it. And then I've watched the last three. Pokemon battles have gotten a lot better. Like, they're actually animated incredibly well.
Well, they just added, like, a week ago, the champion stuff, like Leon and Ash and like all the battles up to that point, which I heard all of those battles are animated amazingly, and it's like 8 episodes, so I think I'm gonna go through all of that. I don't need filler of Ash catching I just want to see him battle.
But actually though, like if I could just see all those battles just sequentially, that would be nice.
Look, you,
I'm sure there's
my new friend.
There's a watch guide out there somewhere.
I feel like with the anime, watching in Japanese is great. I've heard a lot of the Japanese Pokemon cries. Those are amazing. Like a, what is it? A Dracovish. Ulo. La la la.
Ulo. La la la. Yeah. So then the last little bit that I've got here, we've got road. What's that?
You still have a 7-hour drive, but you're still sleepy. Time you wake up today, bud?
Wake up? You have to go to sleep to wake up. I'll tell you when I do that. Road to Worlds is a docuseries that has been coming out for the past couple of days. Kevin, have you heard of Road to Worlds?
I've heard of it. I saw a lot of photos on Twitter of everyone being like, hey, look, there I am. And it's like as far back away. You know that SpongeBob meme where it's like they make the commercial and then SpongeBob's little hat goes through the window. He's like, look, there I am. That's what everyone was doing on Twitter.
Steve, have you had a chance to watch the Road to Worlds docuseries?
No, I haven't watched it fully. I've seen like 30 seconds here and there from like Instagram or Twitter or whatnot. It's cool that they're doing that. I think like a couple years ago, a big problem with like watching competitive stuff is it was hard to be like, I want this person to win or I want this person to win. So like I think back in the day, like so many people were behind Ray Rizzo just because he had like an American flag and that was it. Like, I don't know anything about him, but he's America and the other people are not America. So I guess we're going to vote like root for Ray Rizzo, I guess. So I do like that in recent regionals and ICs that they do take the time to like talk to these players and to like kind of develop this thing. I mean, talked about Wolfie already, but like sometimes it's really annoying to like have Wolfie fanboys spam Twitch chat of like, where's Wolfie? Where's Wolfie? Where? And it's like, just look at his Twitter. He lost like 3 hours ago.
He's
gone. But at the same time, it's like, it's cool to see that like people are invested in him as a player.
There needs to be fans. I think if there's any chance of this growing as an esport, the players need to be more than players, right? Yeah. It's almost like the players become celebrities at that point.
Yeah, or like somebody you can look forward to, like, you know, like one of my favorite people to watch is Joe UX9. So it's like, if I'm like cleaning my house and it's like, oh, Joe's match is coming up, like I'm going to stop what I'm doing. Because I want to see Joe like win.
Mm.
And we have all seen Joe get to
second place multiple times. And finally won. Yeah.
So essentially what Road to Worlds is doing is it's following a few different people, I think four or five different people, just as they go through like their prep and their battles and their what have you. But each episode is like almost half an hour long. I know that there are a lot of like short things on the social medias, but on YouTube, on the official Pokemon channel, they're dropping these like half hour long docu-series is about these different people. Some people in masters, some people in seniors, people who are young to masters, people who are old to masters, because that's like really what masters encompasses, is like a really wide age range compared to like the seniors, who is just like what, 15-16
edgelord age.
But mostly they're following the most recent one is like really giving an underdog story to Isaiah Bradner, who is a very competent player in Pokemon.
It's pretty good,
and it's kind of making me be like, I kind of root for this guy. Like, I'm about to play against him potentially, and I'm like, I hope he wins.
It's making you want them to win. Yeah.
I'm curious. I know a couple people that work at the Pokemon Company International. Sorry, and I know there are a lot of them that are big wrestling fans. And this is something that happens in WWE and wrestling, where they do like this, like, this was everything leading up to your big match, or like this was like the behind the scenes of like this big event.
Do that a lot on pay-per-views too.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were like watching WrestleMania, and then they had like the after show of WrestleMania of like, this was this wrestler's journey, and they're like, we should do that for Pokemon. It's like, yeah, you should do that for Pokemon.
Give people a reason why they're seeing this fight or this battle right now.
Yeah.
This is... when two people are going against each other, how many times have they fought each other in the past? How many times have they competed and just not been able to get the gold, etc.? That's also why they do the win and ends. They could show an 8-0 match or a 7-0 match, but it's not as exciting because those are guaranteed for day twos. What they want to show is the six and one, or the ones that if you lose, you're not making it in. So one of the two players aren't making it to day two.
I think the cool thing about Pokemon 2 is even if the player has, this sounds mean, even if the player has no personality at all, they could have like a really cool like team. Like, oh, this person's using like...
Klefki.
I feel like Klefki's like not unique. Yeah, but yeah. Like,
but that's always the best was, though, like, when you're...
Like people were like, oh, an Oathworm. Oh, yeah, Oathworm. Yeah. Oathworm's on screen.
Yeah.
That was an Oathworm movie.
That's always the best though. When you go and you see like very unique Pokemon used in internationals or regionals, I know whenever we go over whenever we do our like regional recap or national recap, and we see those like Klefkies in there or like the Orthworms, we're always like so excited.
That's the one you want to talk about. Yeah.
Why is this good? Why is this good compared to the big meta that we see all the time? It's really cool to see.
It's the underdog. You want to root for the underdog.
Oh, yeah. When I was...
I guess that's it.
Again, when I was at the DC Worlds, I think it was DC Worlds where... Or maybe it was Nashville. It was Nashville where like somebody had an Umbreon at the time. And Umbreon was just not seen competitively. And anytime Umbreon came on screen, like the crowd would just like erupt.
I was in the crowd when Pachirisu won World. So I was there for that, too.
Oh, you were there for that one?
Yeah. I was there for that. You could see me in the crowd holding up a sign.
People will never forget that. People will, like, never forget Pachirisu.
That is like defined this game. Like, that was the first moment where it was like, whoa, this Pokemon, this little Pika clone just won a tournament. The last one too. That's what's wild. Because typically for Worlds, people bring what's safe, people bring what's competitive, they bring what they know is good. So when a player makes a bold choice to bring a Pachirisu, for example, it's just like, oh. That's crazy. They traveled from Korea to bring Pachirisu.
You have to have some like big confidence in your Pachirisu if you're going to go all the way from Korea to go and win with that.
Yeah.
How does it feel to have been a part of that level of history?
Kind of crazy. Kind of crazy that it was
That's true.
For a year off. Yeah, yeah, that was almost 10 years ago. Yeah.
Like, it's kind of become the mascot of Worlds almost. Like, you will see
that. You will always see, like, when they're doing the highlight reel, there will always be a Pachirisu somewhere.
Yes.
And always Seijin Park holding up that trophy like this.
Yeah.
Just a part of the highlight reel, and it forever will be.
It also helps that, like, there was a documentary that they did about him once, right? Where they, like, showed his room. Yeah. Right? They've done multiple, yeah. They showed his room. And it's like full of Pachirisu memorabilia.
He commits to the bit. I like that.
He committed hard, and I respect it.
It's like one of those things too, where like I'm curious. Maybe he's talked about it of like if he loved Pachirisu going in, or because he has talked about how like Pachirisu was just like the right Pokemon at the right time in that format, and like that's why it won, because it was just. It had like follow me, it was bulky enough, like its moveset. So it was like the right Pokemon at the time. But like now it feels like, even if you look at his Twitter or, you know, anything currently, like Pachirisu is such a big part of him.
Yes, that is his. It might have not been his mascot before, it is now.
Yeah, right. So I wonder if like.
Yeah.
Actually liked that, it before.
Correct.
Or if he's like, dang, now I'm stuck with this stupid squirrel.
But for me, like, I loved Incineroar. Cause like I was like a wrestling fan. I like how Incineroar is like this heel Pokemon. I'm a big cat. I had three cats at one point. Like, so Incineroar checked all the boxes for me. So the it just happened that Incineroar is just the best competitive Pokemon out there.
It's pretty good, I've heard.
Yeah.
So like I never like bat an eye of like I'm building a new team. Well, like the first one on the team is Incineroar. It's like one of my favorite Pokemon. It just, and I'm sure for some people if they didn't like Incineroar, but they really like competitive, Incineroar could have slowly became a Pokemon they really adored. And then there's the complete opposite where people are just like, Incineroar is the worst thing that's ever happened to this game.
Yeah, I mean, some people let their actual emotions for the Pokemon like intertwine with how they actually feel about the Pokemon design-wise, or like, I guess for what it is, like a wrestling cat.
Yeah.
Some people are just like, oh, Incineroar sucks. I hate seeing that thing. But they that could just be their competitive opinion of it.
Right, yeah.
But no one can deny Incineroar doesn't look awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool Pokemon.
It's such a cool Pokemon. Compared to Skeledirge, I'll take Incineroar any day.
There are going to be people who fight you tooth and nail on that sentence alone, because Incineroar, as it was in the meta, like totally flipped people's opinion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like people stopped liking cats because of Incineroar.
You know what I like about Incineroar is the controversy that started, because I think at the time, we had so many firefighting starters.
Yeah.
And the second that it was leaked that it's going to be a wrestler cat, the typings weren't announced yet. So they're like, oh my goodness, another firefighting type. Turns out it's a heel, so it's an evil Pokemon.
Yeah,
it's a dark type. It's a lot cooler now. I don't know. You got two wrestling fans, and then you got Mike.
Yeah, no.
You just said a heel.
Heel means bad guy in wrestler. Wrestling term.
Pokemon have categories. Like Pikachu is like the electric mouse Pokemon. Butterfree is the butterfly Pokemon. Yeah. Incineroar is known as the heel Pokemon.
And if you didn't know, Japan really? Is really big on wrestling too.
Oh, yeah.
They are like probably number two country after the United States when it comes to wrestling.
Yeah, they went all in with Incineroar's like lore and like how he's designed, and like his moveset is very... Like heels, bad guys in wrestling, like they cheat a lot. That's why they're bad guys. So like
it has fake out,
throat chop, sucker punch,
darkest lariat.
Oh, they went deep with
mind blowing to me.
Yeah,
I was just watching Forbidden Arena Door, now.
And then I was like, Tomohiro Ishii came out. I was like, oh, he kind of looks like Incineroar. I can see the resemblance.
I was looking at Primarina.
That's
the
not a
soulless
wrestler.
Pokemon.
The soulless
Brionne,
Pokemon?
The pop star. Yeah, Brionne soulless? Is the pop star Pokemon.
Okay,
what's the other one? Toracat, the fire cat. Okay, that's nothing.
Yeah. That's a nothing.
What's Rillaboom?
Rillaboom is
different
the
generation.
Drumming Pokemon, I think.
The drumming Pokemon. Yes. Okay. So what's Decidueye then? That's the actual
Archer.
Aeroquill.
Yeah, just fancy way for Archer. Yeah.
Very cool. And then Dartrix is the Blade Quill. I need to study up on my like the X Pokemon.
That would be a fun game if we just say what that Pokemon is in their species type. Yeah, we had to guess what that Pokemon.
That's like Easy Jeopardy or Easy Bar.
Easy for you. Yeah, like, hold on, easy yeah. for you.
What is the heel Pokemon, Alex?
He's gonna go. Okay, look well, one up.
Let's do one real quick. Okay, what's Avalug? What do you think Avalug is?
I think Avalug is
the coffee table Pokemon.
I think Avalug is the iceberg Pokemon.
Steve is clearly correct.
You tell me it's not the coffee table.
Now, Steve, you give me a Pokemon.
Well, you want me to give you the category or the...
No, just give me a Pokemon name.
Meowscarada.
Meowscarada. That's going to be the...
Magician.
I'm going to have to say like the clown Pokemon, the magician.
Clown.
Yeah? But what about Delphox, no?
Delphox might be the magician Pokemon. I can't remember what Meowscarada was. That's why I brought it up. I'm thinking
Masquerade, the Masquerade Pokemon.
It's like what it is,
right?
Meowscarada is actually the magician Pokemon.
Oh, it is the magician Pokemon.
You gotta go with your gut sometimes, guys. You just gotta go with it.
So then what's Delphox, I bet, is also the magician Pokemon.
It's gonna say the fox magician Pokemon.
Yeah, probably. There's a lot of Pokemon that are the horn Pokemon.
I can tell you.
Okay.
Delphox is actually not the magician Pokemon, but is just the fox Pokemon.
Oh my goodness. Get out.
They really dropped the ball during X and Y.
They could have done mage, at least. They could have done so much more.
They also had two pre-evolutions before it got to the fox. I don't know.
I don't know either.
This also confirms the existence of foxes in the Pokemon world, just saying.
Oh, I mean, Pikachu is the rat mouse. Right?
The electric mouse.
Electric mouse.
Okay. Electric mouse Pokemon, yeah.
And then
that one I think I could have told you.
I think Rattata is like the tiny mouse Pokemon. It's not even a rat. They call it a mouse as well.
That is a good point. Like, animals don't exist in Pokemon.
Right.
So
technically.
How is this in a Pokedex? Like, what is a mouse in Pokemon?
What's Popplio? Popplio is the sea lion Pokemon. So they brought it back. They bring it back sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they reference it. Mike, I gotta say, I was a little disappointed when I saw your NAIC team. There was no Oricorio on it.
So
you have some explaining to do. You promised there would be an Oricorio on it. Then you send me a paste. You're like, this is my team. And I was like, I don't see an Oricorio.
I was going to use an Oricorio team.
Was.
And then I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? Everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to know what's happening. Open team sheets, I think, kind of kill that team.
That's fair.
So originally, the team that I was going to use was kind of a dancer-centric team. Oricorio with Dancer copies other dancing moves, other like step moves. So with, what's his name?
Quaquabble.
Quaquabble, yeah, who uses Aqua Step. Once it uses that, then Oricorio mimics that and uses again before it goes and uses its own move. So there's some nice, you know, mechanics that you can do around that. There's also Quiver Dance from Volcarona. There's Hisuian Lilligant gets a dance,
yeah.
Now
new one. It's like a physical dance,
yeah.
Yeah, not legal until like 3 more days.
Until like tomorrow.
Yeah. Soon.
Yeah.
Until after the tournament.
Soon. But I figured, you know what, like the second anybody sees Oricorio and Volcarona and then looks at that piece of paper, they're like, okay, that's going for Quiver Dance. I'm just gonna go and attack that. I don't want to play that level of mind games. And I'm actually kind of happy that I'm not, because I'm about to drive for 7 hours and play 4 hours later. So
that's fair.
I think I'm okay.
See, I always respect people going with the better choice or the more comfortable choice.
Yeah.
Here's my next question. Where did you think physical assault vested Wochen was the better choice? Like, where did that cross your mind?
That was that Bruno or was that Mocha? It was one of our mods or one of our friends being like, hey, try this one out instead. Physical Wochen. You'll have fun. And I said, all right.
Guess I'm having fun.
Because they said that nobody calcs for physical Wochen.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Why would they have to?
So. Anyway, Kevin, you wanna talk about your team?
Okay, I'm running Heart Trick Room, so I'm running Hat Indeedee.
Armorers?
Nah, no. Armorers. Yeah. I couldn't do it this time. Maybe, honestly, I've been playing some Regulation D. There's a lot less Dark types in Regulation D. I think Armorers can do something in Regulation D. Just gonna have to wait and see. I'm running Hatterene Indeedee, Torkoal King Gambit, Oranguru, and Hariyama. Hariyama's kind of my pocket pick. It's a little bit weird. And there's a lot of reasons why I wanted Hariyama over Iron Hands, because a lot of people ask me, why don't you just do Iron Hands? Hariyama does incredibly more damage than Iron Hand. It's like not even one-to-one. Because you get the Guts boost with the Flame Orb. Close combats hit like an absolute truck. And the goal in Trick Room is to not have it last more than 4 turns. If I can end the game in 3 turns, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about Oranger that I like a lot, not only does it have Instruct, so I can do things like spam Rock Slide with Hariyama, get 2 Rock Slide sets off, double chance to flinch each time. You can also punish protects, because what a lot of people like to do when they're against Hard Trick Room is to protect in front of it, to stall out a turn. With Open Team Sheet and with Hariyama, I have Encore on it. And I made sure to put it on the first slot of Arcanine, so you know you see it. It's right there. Encore. I dare you to click Protect against me. Because the second they do, you Encore them, and now they're locked there. So that's
it's a little bit of a deterrent.
Don't do it. So hopefully it works.
Something to be said about having a move that deters people from using certain things.
Ally Switch was a great example of that in Player's Cup. When there was Open Team Sheet and Player's Cup, you used to be able to just spam Ally Switch over and over. It's like, okay, they could Ally Switch, but will they? You just never have to click it. You'll confuse them eventually.
That's always really interesting.
I probably won't do great. I'll see.
And then on my side, I'm going to be bringing a Fluttermane, a Glimmora, Wochen, a physical Wochen, yes. An Iron Hands Arcanine, and an Iron Bundle. Yes.
Okay, kind of
physical Wochen with Assault Vest.
Kind of a good stuff with a physical Wochen. I can appreciate that. Glimmora is interesting too. It'll help you like stall out the game. But yeah, I mean, physical Wochen, I feel like there's something to be said about it, mainly because no one's going to be prepared for it. Like, you can look at a physical Wochen, see that it has Assault Vest, and still don't know if you can do enough damage to get rid of it.
Right. And I mean, it also, because it lowers attack, right, of everything else. Was it attack or special?
He doesn't even know he's running the national competition.
I don't even know. You know what? I'm running on no sleep, right? It's not going to go down to very much, right?
Yeah,
hopefully. Having the Power Whip, having the Pollen Puff, you can use it as support. You can do kind of whatever you want with it. I feel like I'm probably going to bring it sometimes. But mostly it's going to be that Glimmora, that Iron Bundle, Arcanine, Iron Hands, even the Fluttermane. I feel like Fluttermane at this point of the game is just kind of a deterrent for other people to bring certain things. Mm-hmm. When you have one Pokemon that is just so hard entrenched in the meta, most of the Pokemon that come in against it are there so that you don't bring the Fluttermane. Don't bring the Fluttermane. Bring the things that can KO the Fluttermane. Mm-hmm.
Shocker, guys, you will see Fluttermanes tomorrow. Or not tomorrow. You would have seen Fluttermanes this last weekend.
Correct.
If you are watching this international championship, you will see a Fluttermane.
But this is the last time, probably, for a little while.
I hope we'll see
like 90% usage on a Fluttermane.
I don't know, man.
We might see 80% next
the
month.
The way Regulation D feels. It's like a lot of people thought that, oh, Regulation D is going to kill Fluttermane. But now it just feels like, oh, it's Fluttermane and Urshifu. Now they're just both there.
I don't think it's going to kill Fluttermane necessarily. I think it's just going to be less prevalent.
Yeah, just dampen it a little bit. That's the thing with a lot of the Pokemon.
Infinitely bring Fluttermanes.
Yeah, with a lot of the Pokemon coming in Regulation D, it's like they're all very strong. So the Pokemon that are very strong and have no checks, like Fluttermane currently, Fluttermane will have a check. Like you have Heatran, for example. What is a Fluttermane ever going to do to a Heatran? Nothing. And Heatran, now you can Grass Terra and just be resisted to a ground now. So you have that option. You can be resisted to a Moongus and just hit it back with Fire type move.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, Grass Terra is like so good on Heatran.
Yeah.
So Steve, if you could bring anything to this.
Since you're not bringing anything.
If you were bringing anything.
Incineroar.
Incineroar. If I was to bring something, I still liked Dragapult a lot. It had such a weird... Like it came in second at one of the.
Mm-hmm.
It lost to the Baxcalibur team.
I believe that was Justin Tang's first regional win.
Yeah,
he did win with a Dragapult and also next to a Chen Pao. So like you do double damage.
Yeah,
with
Dragapult
Dragon
Chen Pao. Yeah. Which that like Dragapult Chen Pao is what I used the most on ladder, and I did like it, but at the time it was just like, oh, I need to like change Terra to Steel, and I need to like tweak some stuff. But if I was to play,
Terras are too expensive. Changing a Terra type last minute, it's like, oh, okay, now I got to go grind.
I really still like Golden Go. I still like playing Golden Go.
Yeah,
shiny one?
Yeah, I can. Did you get a shiny one?
Okay,
yeah.
Look at this guy.
I miss Clefairy. I know, like, Mousehold is like kind of budget Clefairy, I guess. Yeah. But I do miss Clefairy.
So you were like the Clefairy and Porygon Z type guy?
I didn't like Porygon Z.
Oh, okay. That was a thing for a while.
I was definitely Clefairy Dragapult. That's how I made it into Players Cup, was Clefairy Dragapult.
I would love to use Porygon Z in this meta. If I could go Terra Normal Adaptability Hyper Beam. Like, I just like that level of math, you know?
Could Helping Hand it, too.
Sure, why not?
Just go all the way.
Do that with a Mouse Hold. Friend Guard the Mouse Hold. Give it Terra Fairy. I don't care. You make it a
you want to make the Mouse Hold a Clefairy.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like that, please.
Good luck.
Yep. I'll give it a Moonstone to hold. It won't do anything, but it'll have a Moonstone.
It'll be there.
Yep.
Well, you have a 7-hour drive, so we should probably
probably wrap it up.
I think we're talking Clefairies with the Holy Moonstones. Yeah,
once we get to this part of the podcast, we're turning Mouse Holds into Clefairies. That's when
we know it's time to end it. Yeah. Well, it feels weird because like Steve's podcasts are always like 2.5 hours long.
How do you
somehow
do that?
Talk for like
there's a lot of news sometimes.
There's a lot of news. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of news, it's true.
When you go from like anime, go, TCG, it adds up.
Interesting.
A lot of stuff.
Well, this was a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it over at the studio. It felt cozy for me. So I guess this was nice for my anxiety.
I'm glad that we came up with this loophole, though.
Yeah.
This works. You're actually on the chair across from us, so it's like you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And then I'll be there in just 7 hours, so we'll chill tomorrow. We'll have a nice dinner.
And then when you both lose, we'll play Pokemon Go on Saturday.
Absolutely. Yeah, we already planned this out.
Yeah, yeah. That's perfect.
Just so I remember, I will go and update it as I'm saying this
that
outro.
It might take you a couple.
It might take me a couple of hours. So, to wrap things up, Steve, do you have anything to plug this week?
If you want to, find my stuff, if you're listening over on your guys' feed and you want to come over and you want more Pokemon news, you go to PokemonPodcast.com or you can just search for It's Super Effective wherever you find podcasts.
This really does work out because it's like you talk about everything except VGC and we talk about only VGC. Yeah. So if you really want to know everything about Pokemon, just listen to both of us. You'll get there.
There you go. Kevin, you got anything to plug this week?
Well, if you're listening to this over on It's Super Effective, come watch PokeSport. We talk about competitive Pokemon if you're trying to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Mike?
What I will plug our stream. Over on youtube.com/pokesports, Kevin has been streaming a bunch leading up to NAIC. And after NAIC, I will also be joining the streaming crew because I finally have a little bit more time to do so. And I'm very happy about that.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a podcast.
Anyway, this has been the PokeSports, a collaborative Pokemon podcast.
It's PokeSports. It's PokeSports Effective.
It's PokeSports. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers of the episode, starting with Stephen, Kay, William, Tony, Stuart, Ryan, Nate, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Jessica, Greg, Courtney, Chris, Brian, Anthony, and our executive producers of Spencer and Brady. Thank you so much for the continued support. If you too would like to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast. That is patreon.com/pkmncast. And you can sign up to get a bunch of rewards, including having your name read at the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.